This past week was a memorial of the 9/11 terrorist attack against our nation, and this past week had a lot of opportunities to be thinking about and praying for those who were victims and victims' families and friends of victims, first responders who gave their life sacrificially to go and to make attempts to rescue, and many who did rescue others, but their own lives being lost. And I thought about this. This tragedy continues to be relived by these who are left behind. Every year when we nationally remember, those families and friends and those closest to it have to relive that tragic experience. And so I prayed, and I hope you prayed for them and continue to do so. Thanksgiving for those that were first responders, had no concern for themselves but to get others out, and then prayer for the family members and friends, of course. And as we do that, to remember that prayer doesn't change God's mind. What it does is prompts God to accomplish what He's already established in heaven. And He just invites us to be a part of that program. That's what prayer is. It's us communing with God and aligning ourselves with who He is and what He has planned and what He has done, so that we might experience Him moving in our midst. And heard of an incident in a small Texas town where a new tavern was being constructed, much to the chagrin of the local Baptist church. They started a campaign of petitions and prayers against that tavern, hoping that bar would not open. But work progressed all the way up until the week before the grand opening. And that night, the week before, a lightning storm took place, and a lightning strike burned the establishment down to the ground. The church folk were quite content with the outcome. They were very proud of their experience, until the tavern owner sued the church on the grounds that the church was ultimately responsible for the demise of the building, either through direct or indirect actions or means. Well, the church vehemently denied all responsibility in connection to the building's destruction, all the way to court. Well, as the case made its way to court, the judge looked over the paperwork. At the hearing, he commented, "I don't know how I'm going to rule, but as it appears from the paperwork, we have a tavern owner who believes in the power of prayer and an entire church that doesn't." And while that's humorous, it might be somewhat true. We should have great confidence, not in our prayer, but in our God, who has birthed us in a new birth, and who has called us and chosen us to be His people in this world, that He would hear us from His place in heaven, and that He would answer according to the prayers that we cry out to Him. And there's the key, is praying according to what He wants us to do. I'm hoping that we're a congregation that trusts in the effectiveness of prayer, that we recognize we have a God who's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, limitless, abundance of riches and resources, of all that we ever need in life. And whenever we have concerns for things that are going on, we should bring that to the Lord. I am amazed at how often we fail to do that. The ministries of this church, I think about all the time, praying about the ministries of this church. There are many ministries in this body of believers. Things that are happening behind the scenes that you don't see happening, but make the whole thing work. We need to be praying for our ministries. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be praying for missionaries that we support, praying that we're effective in the way that we serve our Lord in this place, praying that when certain kind of specific things come up, like our church conference tonight, I hope you've been praying about what will be happening tonight as we sit together and as a body of believers in this one place talk about issues. We need to be prayerful. If we don't bring it to the Lord, then we're coming in our own energy, and that will not be effective. The Scripture is very clear on that. We must trust the Lord. And so the first thing that we need to do is pray. when we have a decision to be made. John Bunyan said, "You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed." And so often we seem to leave prayer out of the equation. And so as we gather this morning, you may gather, we're going to talk about prayer. I'm compelled to speak about prayer this morning, and that we pray accordingly. The title is Pray Accordingly, but that we pray according to God's Word, God's will, our need, and then our faith. We're going to look at those. We're going to start with two passages of Scripture and kind of work through that and discuss these ways to make sure that we're praying appropriately and praying according to what God has called us to. So if you'll stand with me as we read our Scripture for this morning. We'll begin in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, and I want to add this morning John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14 as well. So in Matthew 7, included in the Sermon on the Mount that the Lord Jesus gave us, he spoke about prayer, encouraging, in fact commanding, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son asks him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want people, however you want people to treat you, treat them. This is the law and the prophets." Let's bow for prayer. Father, we acknowledge this morning that you're in our midst. We thank you, Father, for the wonderful time of praise, the opportunity to give, to reflect on how you've given to us. Lord God, now to concentrate on this word, we ask you, Father, teach our hearts. Help us to be receptive. Help us, Father, to find those areas in our life that may be deficient, that are not lining up with your truth. And Lord God, to set those things aside and to move forward. Lord God, just draw us close to you now. Make us more like Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Thank you for standing. I will read John 14 while you're sitting. Verses 12 through 14. Jesus included in his last words before his going to trial and crucifixion, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." Well, how's that going to happen? "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And if you love me, you'll keep my commandments." His commandment here is to pray, ask in his name. And so as we look at these passages of Scripture and examine them a little bit, we'll kind of get a springboard from moving into our thoughts. Jesus taught the multitudes to pray on more than one occasion. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, he had taught the model prayer in chapter 6 of Matthew. As he was going through, he had spoken about not praying in public to be seen by others. If you do that, that's your only reward you'll ever get. But if you pray in secret, pray in your heart, God, who sees in secret, will reward you accordingly. And then he goes on to give a model prayer to kind of tell us what should be included in our prayers before him. Pray our Father who's in heaven. Pray as if you're praying to your heavenly dad. And he is that. We have permission to call him Abba, Father, Daddy. He is one who's birthed us. He's given life to us. He's our Father. He's holy. Holy is his name. We should acknowledge his holiness. It was Isaiah who was in the temple, saw the holiness of God, and then saw himself as he truly was. This is important when we're praying. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come. That's one sentence. Father, bring your kingdom. I don't know about you, but that's going to be an exciting time. Bring your kingdom. We should be praying for his kingdom to come. and then pray that His will be done on earth as it's already being done in heaven, has been established, and He desires to be happening here. Pray. Include these things in your prayer. Give us today our daily provision. Lord, help us to be content with what You provide for us. Forgive us our sins as we make sure to forgive others who have offended us. And I think that's important, because at the end of the model prayer, He goes in and He says in verse 14 through 15, if you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. It's important we do that. Keep that part of our prayers as we're asking for God's forgiveness. Don't forget, we ought to be extending that mercy to others. And then He says, do not lead us into temptation. Father, You know where I get in trouble. Help me, Father, not to be given to the actions of the evil one. Deliver me from him, because You own the kingdom and the power and the glory. It's always Yours forever. These are elements of the prayer Jesus taught. He was giving instruction to the disciples, and now we find it's almost like a command, encouragement, continue, don't forget, pray, ask, seek, knock. This is persistence. This is diligence. This is to continue in, to ask and to seek, look after, knock, be physical about it. Because everybody who does these things will receive. He who does those things will find what he's looking for. Those who do these kind of things will see the door open for him. It is a call for God's people to pray. And then he gives us an illustration. What man is there among you? And he pointed to his audience, I'm sure, and said, what man among you? You have children, and the child says, I need some bread. I'm hungry. Are you going to give him a stone? Are you going to fool him in that way? Are you going to be mean enough to not feed your child? Or if he desires for a fish, you give him a snake, where he might be bitten, killed, poisoned, in distress. No. He said, won't you supply what your child needs? And if you, being evil men, I think this is important for us to get. Compared to God, you and I are messed up. We're in trouble. We're a mess. And even as saved believers who've been redeemed and washed by the blood of Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit, we still battle with the flesh and battle with lust and battle with the appetites of those things. We are evil in comparison to holy God. But God recognizes that even we will do kindnesses to those that we love. And if that's so, then will not your Father who's in heaven, who loves you and has given His own Son for you, will He not take care of you? Will He not hear you and answer? Jesus was trying to teach us, I think, as well as these disciples, that we have an opportunity to trust in God. If we, as sin-tainted people, can do kindnesses, we can't even begin to imagine how much God, in His holiness, in His love and benevolence, desires to pour out His goodness into our life, especially for His own children. I heard a preacher once explain that when we get to heaven, there are going to be a special room up there with a bunch of boxes in it, and they're all wrapped nicely, and they're got nice little ribbon on it, and then there's a label on it, and each of those boxes and the label is going to have your name on it if you're a believer. Every believer is going to have a box with a name on it, and on the outside there's going to be a notation that says here, never delivered to earth because it was never requested from earth. And said that those are the prayers of people that never got delivered because they didn't pray. Now, I don't see that in Scripture anywhere. Pretty good idea that it's probably the principle and the concept is probably true. There are probably many prayers that have not been uttered that the Lord is desiring to hear from His people. He desires for us to cooperate with Him. It's not because God doesn't know what to do. It's not because God can't do things without us. It's because God desires for His people to work with Him as He's working in this world, which He is doing constantly. But the problem with us is that we do not pray. We don't think that it's big enough an issue for God to deal with. Sometimes we think it's too big and it's gone too far for God to really care or do anything about. Sometimes we think we can handle the issue on our own. Sometimes we just don't know how to pray. Well, there's a way to pray. Let's examine it. Pray accordingly. Let's pray according to the Word of God. That's the first thought, the Word of God. The Word of God commands us to pray. Scripture is not empty on telling God's people to pray, to call out to Him. We find even in the garden, in the first creation, when prayer is not mentioned there, but we find the hint that God comes down in the garden and visits with man all the time. There's communication, there's intimacy, there's contact. It's the way God originally planned it. When sin came on the scene, that kind of communication, that moved on. Sin ruined that for the time being. When we get to glory, that'll be replaced. But for the time being, now we call out to God in prayer. We call out to Him and talk to Him in that way. And He responds, because we find early on in the first five books where God was dealing with mankind, spoke directly to Moses, spoke directly through Moses to the people. When it came time for the prophets to come on the scene, God spoke through the prophets to the kings and to the people and prayed. God commanded, tell my people to pray. I mean, prayer is that communication with God that we cannot take a chance on missing. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 is one of those familiar passages most of you will recognize. It's when God talked directly to Solomon and said, hey, you've dedicated a temple. That's all great and good. I told your father I didn't really need a place, but because you built me a place, here's the deal. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. It's an incredible promise from God Himself as He talked through this king. And then Jesus in the New Testament instructing His disciples to pray and give them this model prayer that we addressed just a moment ago. The Apostle Paul talking about pray without ceasing. Don't hesitate to pray. We oftentimes mistake that for, gosh, I got to be a monk. I have to sit somewhere in a solitude place and just humble myself and be quiet all the time. That's not true at all. A believer should have an attitude of prayer no matter where he is, what he's doing. In fact, we should be praying right now. You should be praying that Jesus helps this preacher. You should be praying that God's opening your eyes, opening your spiritual ears so you hear Him. When I'm working out in my yard and I see my neighbor walk out and get in his vehicle and go down the road, I pray, God keep him safe. Help him to accomplish what he's going to accomplish. When I hear an ambulance come by any time of the day, if I'm in my office, in the house, whatever, I hear an ambulance go by, pray, Lord God, take care of that person, take care of that family, give wisdom to those that are attending to that individual. You pray at every moment. God will give you the unction of the Spirit to bring things to your mind. Why do you think they come to your mind? My wife, it will be sitting in the house and all of a sudden start asking about somebody that's gone through an issue or maybe hadn't heard of going through an issue, but she'll say, so-and-so's on my heart. And she'll pray for that person. That's how it ought to be. That's the Spirit of God that's moving us to pray. We've been commanded in Scripture. God has given us this incredible gift to be able to pray and connect with Him. We should do it as often as we can. You look through the Word of God, you find God's people praying in whatever circumstance it is. They can be in desperation, they can be in trouble, they can be in hunger, confession of sin because they've gotten themselves in a bind, thanksgiving and dedication when things are going well, times of commitment, even when they're facing death. We find saints praying to the Lord. It's always appropriate to pray. The Bible teaches that people of God pray. This is what we ought to do. We ought to be in prayer at every opportunity. So pray according to the Word of God. What you learn from the Word of God, what you learn in the way of prayers, what you learn in the way of the saints who've prayed, pray. It's a command. It's a gift. So pray according to the Word of God. Pray according to the will of God. You and I can know much of the will of God by looking into the Word of God. That's where truth is. That's where He tells us what His purposes are. If you read through it well enough and you start connecting the Old Testament and the New Testament, you see how those purposes move from one testament to the other, and you don't any longer see a break. You see it all as one story. In fact, we could extend the story from the New Testament into our lives. because God's purposes have continued. His will continues to be active and to be accomplished. But he's inviting his people to pray. And through the Bible, we see the prayers of the people of God who humbled themselves and yielded to the will of God, the prayers of the saints, such as in the story of the king Jehoshaphat. Sees an enemy army coming around him. He doesn't know what to do, and so he calls on a prophet. Somebody pray. And the prophet prays to God, and God gives an answer. God says, you won't have to fight the fight. All you have to do is get your army together and show up, but also I want you to bring the choir. And I want you to have the choir in the front row, and I want the choir to be the one that leads you out into the battle, and they're going to be singing. As soon as they start singing the praises of the Lord, I'm going to do something, and that's exactly what they did. They prayed, they found out what the will of God was, they went out, they began singing, and the scripture says as soon as they started singing, God started causing chaos in the enemy's army and destroyed them without ever having to lift a sword. Israel found a victory. They sought the will of God. And we find that over and over again in the Old Testament. We find it again and again in the New Testament as well, where the will of God, the desire of God, when you look at the prayers of the saints in the New Testament and the prayers of the Apostle Paul in the epistles, he's praying not just for the good of people, he's praying the will of God on the people. Jesus did the same thing. When he prayed over his people, he prayed the will of God. When he prayed that little model prayer, he was praying the will of God. When you read through that, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. John chapter 17, that real Lord's Prayer, the priestly prayer of Christ. And he's praying, you know, he's praying the will of God for himself. He's praying the will of God for his disciples. He's praying the will of God for you and I who will believe what the disciples have left behind. He's praying we experience the will of God. And what is that? Ultimately, to go back and to glorify the Father. Do you know that our prayers would be a whole lot more effective if we prayed just to make sure that we were glorifying the Father with what we were praying and what we were doing with our lives? Because that was the will of Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm going to send a comforter to come down. He's going to be the Holy Spirit, and he's going to guide you in all things, and he will help you to pray the will of God. And he'll pray so that what you don't know how to pray, he will pray for you. In Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite chapters in the Scripture, the Apostle Paul adds this verse 26 and 27, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So when you don't know what to pray in the way of the will of God, if you've read the Scripture and you still go, I don't know what God's will is in this, trust the Spirit. Because the Spirit knows the heart of God, and the Spirit's going to pray the will of God on your behalf and groan on your behalf. You have to trust God in that. You can pray the will of God, is what we've been called to. Pray, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's not hard to pray. Whatever the circumstance of your own life might be, plug yourself into that and say, God, what you've established in my circumstances today to be done have been done in heaven, and I pray, Father, you accomplish that here. Now, when you pray that, be careful, because it may not be what you've expected. May not be what you think it's going to look like. But pray God's will. That is how we pray according to the Lord God. One Old Testament example of that is in the story of Hannah. If you remember 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah was a woman who was barren. She had a husband named Elkanah, and he had another wife named Peninnah. And Peninnah had some children. Hannah didn't have any kids, but they would go to worship. And one time when she was at worship, she went to the temple, and she began praying. So after eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah rose, and Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord, and she, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. When Hannah was praying this prayer, she was desperate to have a child. And a boy would be even better. And she said, give me a son. She was specific. Little did she know that she was praying exactly what God was wanting for his program. Because later on, God would need that last prophet who would help Israel to transition from prophets being led by prophets to being led by kings. When Israel would begin to cry out for a king, Samuel would be the one that would help transition them there. God knew that way before Hannah prayed that prayer. And it was all in accordance with God's will. Did Hannah know what that program was going to look like? Nope. All she knew was that she was to pray in the Spirit as she was prompted, and even in her desperation, she prayed, and God fulfilled his purposes. Samuel became that last prophet, and when the people cried out for a king, Samuel was hurt for God. He was angry. God said, don't worry, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And I knew this was going to happen because I told Moses a long time ago that it was going to happen, and this is just the fulfillment of it. And your mother had prayed my will a long time ago. Scripture doesn't say that, but I can imagine that's what Samuel was thinking. Wow, all of this has come to fruition because Hannah prayed the will of God. Sometimes we don't know we're praying the will of God. So pray according to the Word of God, pray according to the will of God, and then pray according to your need. And this is where we plug in the human side of it for just a moment. I don't know about you, but I'm inclined to pray for what I want to see happen. I look, I see things, I want to see things happen, I pray. But oftentimes we are to be praying what is not seen. We are to be praying what we need. And oftentimes we miss what we need because we're so wrapped up in what we like and what we want and what feeds our flesh. And there's a great difference between the two. And sometimes it can be a conflict within us. We need to remember that prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as we mentioned before out of Matthew 6. Think about this. I found an old prayer attributed to a Confederate soldier in one of my illustration books, and I think it's perfect to illustrate this point. He prays this way, I ask God for strength that I might achieve, but I was made weak that I may learn to humbly obey. I ask God for health that I might do great things, but I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I ask for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty so that I might be wise. I ask for power that I might have the praise of men, that I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. God gave me life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, everything I hoped for. I among all men most richly blessed. Isn't that kind of what happens? Oftentimes when we pray, we're praying what we want and God delivers what we need. How nice it would be if we more often would pray what we needed. And I think to do that, we get into God's Word as we noted a moment ago and then pray according to the will of God. Look for the will of God in things rather than our own will. Jesus did that himself. Not my will but yours be done. We should do the same thing. And when we do that, we'll find ourselves praying according to what we need rather than what we're seeing and wanting. One passage in Scripture says it this way, in Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him also, and He will do this thing. Delight yourself in what the Lord delights in, and God will make that your delight. He'll start to draw your heart to be like His. And that's what He's doing in us, making us into the image of Jesus. And the desires of our heart can be just like the desires of God if we trust Him, lean on Him. That way we can pray the will of God. Delight in the Lord, delight in His truth, delight in His righteousness, delight in His love and in His grace and mercy, His justice, delight in all things that God brings. And He'll give you the right desires of your heart so that when you pray according to your need rather than to your wants. So pray according to the Word of God, pray according to the will of God, pray according to your need, pray according to your faith. And I want to clarify this. Our faith is an expression of our dependence upon Holy God. It means we're trusting Him. A strong faith is a faith that trusts Him regardless of what is happening around us. A strong faith. Jesus said if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, what happens? You can move mountains. Well, I've never in my life or note in history that somebody has prayed and an actual mountain, a physical, literal mountain, has moved. However, metaphorically speaking, most of us in this place can testify that you have prayed and a giant or an obstacle or a hardship or a storm has been moved. Because God is faithful to move those things. And you might have noticed that your faith wasn't very big even in those kinds of prayers. You know, it's not the size of your faith that matters as much as it is in the size of the object of your faith. And if the object of your faith is the Lord God, who is omniscient and omnipresent and the other omnipotent. Yeah, all those omnis. And you have a pretty good position. You trust in Him. Trust in the faith of Christ, who accomplished all things perfectly that were assigned to Him by the Father. When He came, He never once erred. Never once took a sidetrack off the mission. He constantly was perfect in every way to accomplish what God called Him to. He exercised a perfect faith. When we come to faith, it's not that we become good as much as we trust in the One who was perfectly good and did no wrong and satisfied God's righteous requirement for our salvation. You get that? Our faith is nothing if it's not placed in Christ Jesus, who is the One who did all things perfectly. So if you pray according to your faith, and your faith is in the object of faith that was perfect, being Christ Jesus, you're going to pray appropriately. You're going to pray in the proper way. If your faith is just in yourself and your own strength and your own intelligence, your prayers are going to fail, and they'll not be what the Lord calls you to pray. So pray according to your faith in Him to accomplish His word, to accomplish the will of God, and to supply your need. He's able to do all of those things, so trust Him. Paul wrote in Philippians 4, verse 19, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." He accomplishes all your needs, supplies all your needs according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus, the One who exercised perfect faith. Trust in Him. And then you pray according to that faith in Him, and you will see incredible answers to your prayers. So pray according to the Word of God. Pray according to the will of God. Pray according to your need, and pray according to your faith. And may your faith be completely placed in Christ Jesus. He always hears the prayers of those who belong to Him. Now, as believers, there are times when we can hinder our prayers. I believe Peter's the one that talked about, men, if you have a sin in your life, or if you're not treating your wife right, your prayers are going to be hindered before the Lord. That's kind of a mean situation, but if we've got a hindrance, something going on with our wives, husbands, that can hinder our prayers. You might say, how would the Lord do that to people that belong to Him? Well, back in the Old Testament in Isaiah, when Isaiah first began prophesying in the very first chapter, he's talking about how God is not very pleased with your burnt offerings and the fat of your fed cattle, and take no pleasure in the blood of your bulls, lambs, or goats, because when you come to me, you aren't coming with what I require. I hate your assemblies. I hate your moon festivals, your appointed feasts. They become a burden, and I'm weary of bearing them. In verse 15, he says, "So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I'll not listen. Your hands are covered with blood." Not blood of a sacrifice, but blood of your own sin. Sin can separate our prayers from being heard and responded to by the Lord. We must come to Him in confession. And there are scriptures that we can look to find a model for confession. Psalm 51 is one of the most powerful psalms of confession that David prayed after his sin with Bathsheba. And it's a powerful psalm of confession that I go to every once in a while to remind me of my low estate before my holy God. But we must come in brokenness and in confession before the Lord. If we expect Him to hear our prayers, we must come broken. In fact, believer, even you as a believer need to come before the Lord saying, Father, forgive my sin. Jesus gave that in the model prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we're mindful to forgive those who've offended us as well. Listen, God will answer yes. God will answer no. Sometimes God will say, wait. And we don't like that one. But most of the time, that's the one He's given us. God's never late to take care of an issue. He's always on time. So trust Him. Be patient with Him. And anybody in this place, you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, the very first and utmost important prayer you need to pray is a prayer of surrender to God through Christ Jesus. It needs to be that you acknowledge you're a sinner and that you have no recourse before the Lord God except to rely upon the very one that God sent in the person of Jesus, who came down, died for your sin. He was raised up to life because God was satisfied with what He offered on our behalf as sinners. Jesus Christ was perfect. God made Him who had no sin to become our sin bearer so that we might be made the righteousness of God through Christ. It is God's work at the cross that even brings righteousness into our lives. But we have to trust Him. And we have to call upon Him in prayer. The Bible says if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that's implying we pray, call out to Him, and call Him Lord. Acknowledge, you're not the boss. He's the boss. He's the one that has the perfect plan. Bow before Him and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead. And if you do that, you'll be saved. So there's the most important prayer you can pray. And then you begin to pray. As you know, learn what the Word of God says about the will of God. You discover your needs before the Father and you pray according to that. And you pray according to your faith that's been placed in the only one who's been perfect in His faith. I pray that's clear. And that speaks to your heart. And I pray that we find experience of success in our prayer life so we commit the things that the Lord brings into our life to Him. Let's bow at this time. Father, we do acknowledge You and thank You for being our holy God. Father God, that You desire to meet our needs. We talked about that last week. Father, You know what we need. But I thank You that You invite us to cooperate with You in Your incredible work in this world. How amazing it is, Father, when we get plugged in and we find ourselves aligning with Your will and the truth of Your Word and seeing that we're praying that which is in accordance with what You want for us. It's such a blessing. I pray, Father, we experience that as a church and as individuals. Stir us now this morning, Father, as we have this privilege to worship You through response. Lord God, pray that You move us to where You want us to be. It's in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray and who modeled for us how to pray and who is our intercessor even now at Your right hand. We pray in His name. Amen.